This is WCNO, listener-supported Christian radio for the Palm Beaches and the Treasure Coast.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the word. Come on, let's go.
This is why the Bible says you got to have your senses exercised so you'll be able to discern good from evil. That comes from you having use of the word of God that we just read. Those who are through age, those who have use have their senses exercised to be able to discern between good and evil, to be able to determine when to use the word. Everything is not a nail and you are not a hammer. That's all I do is just kill. No, you got to have some. I want to say, what Bruno Mars said, you got to have some finesse. You got to be able to finesse the word of God. You got to know when to use that word. You got to be skillful in that word. Ain't just hacking and cutting up everything going through. Now you being cut, you know, it'd be like the guys that want to pull up the tares with the wheat. He said, no, don't pull up the tares. You might pull up the wheat too. Wait and let them grow together so you can discern which is of God and which is not. Cause see, them tares are going to be like this cause they ain't got no grain in them. But the wheat, they're going to bow cause they heavy and you'll know the difference. We got to discern between good and evil. You got to be skillful in the word of God. You got to have the inclination and the unction from the Holy Spirit of God. See, all this I'm talking about, you cannot do on your own. You cannot do in your own mind. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, sometimes we allow our flesh just to take over. We walk in the vanity of our mind. We worry about what people say, what people gonna think about us. We worry about our hair. That's vanity. We worry about our looks. Okay, yeah, we're supposed to look nice, we're supposed to dress nice, but you don't allow other people's opinion to determine your self-worth. But a lot of people do that. It says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why? For the law. Somebody said the law. Did you know you're under the law, but not the law, not the Mosaic law, but you are still under the law. You are under the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. And it has made you free from the law of sin and death. There's a law of sin and death that you're under as long as you're carnally minded. But when you become spiritually minded, you get delivered from the law of sin and death, and now you're under the law of the Spirit of life. He said, for what the law could not do, and that is weak through the flesh, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They always digging up stuff of the flesh. I like to say they mind it just like somebody digging for gold. People always busybody. They in folks business. They can't talk about nothing good. They always got to dig up. They minding up the things of the flesh. But those are of the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. The Bible, Philippians says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report. He said, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. Keep your mind focused on the things of God. Don't be focusing on the fleshly things. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, and for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Some of y'all still walking in the valley of decision. You don't know if you want to fully obey God or not. you obey God as long as it's convenient. There's a king named Saul. God gave Saul instruction to go out and to get rid of the Amorites and to kill them all. I believe it was the Amorites. But Saul left some of them alive, brought back the sheep and the best sheep and the best cattle and brought the king back alive. And so therefore, because he did not fully obey God, God took the kingdom from him. See, a lot of us just want to partially obey God. We don't want to do the things that God say are right in his sight. You know, why would you walk the tightrope to hell? You're on a tightrope trying not to fall off, seeing how close you can get to the edge. The story of the driver. Y'all remember Pastor Arrington used to tell us this? I don't know if you remember this. It was this guy. He was rich. He had a house up on a hill, way up on a mountain. All right. In order to get to his house, it was a winding road that would go up the mountain to get to the top where his house was. And so he was hiring for drivers. He needed a chauffeur. And he said, the one that can get the closest to the edge, that's the one I'm going to hire. So he got the first one. First one was driving. He must have got about 6 inches from the curb, from the end. He said, man, I can't get no closer than that. He said, all right, I'll give you a call. The next one he hired. He got so close to the edge that the one wheel was halfway off and rocks were falling off. And he said, I can't get no closer than that. He said, okay, I'll give you a call. He hired the third driver and called the third driver in and interviewed him. This driver was so close to the wall, he was taking the paint off the car. The man said, you got the job. How far you can get away from the edge is more important than trying to live your life balancing your sin life with your spiritual life. It don't work. And you're going to fall off. You're going to fall off the cliff. What we do because we want to please God and not pleasing ourselves. The Bible said all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but all things do not edify or bring glory unto God. Paul said, I can eat meat or drink wine. I can do all those things, but I won't do none of them if it caused my brother to stumble or if he's made weak. I won't let my liberty be evil spoken of. I won't let the things that I allow to make the reputation of God look bad. Cause see, I don't represent me. I represent Lord. And the life that we live in order to please God. It is not a hard life to live. Why continue in sin? The Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So we all have to take that inward look, that examination, and you got to make a choice. He said, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye, tell me the ones who have given their life to Christ. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. When you got saved, when you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, sealed into the day of salvation. Now, you're saved, but there's also a filling that you can obtain. And when you ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, it's to anoint you for service. It's to commission you. When you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, the moment you got saved, your spirit was vacuum packed in God. Your spirit is saved. But you, your carnal mind, it's got to be delivered. This is about why the Bible said grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is why the Bible tells us that we have to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. See, when pleasing God becomes more important than pleasing yourself, those things that you do that you know that you shouldn't be doing will now become a reproach to you. And you'll ask God to deliver you, take those things away from you. When I first got saved, I was saved. I was smoking reefer, drinking Mickey's Big Mouth, and smoking Salem Lights. telling people about Jesus. But what I was doing was getting in the way of my testimony. And when pleasing God became more important than pleasing myself, those things came a reproach to me. I had to put them away. I had to get rid of them. Why? Because of the cause of Christ. Because people couldn't hear what I was saying were looking at what I was doing. Oh, if you say, why are you still smoking cigarettes? You say, why are you still drinking? I mean, like I said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things won't edify. And so the Bible said you are to present your body a what? Say it loud. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Until your mind is renewed, you don't see nothing wrong with nothing. Everything's okay with you. I don't see why two men can't live together. I don't understand why two women can't live together. I don't know why this is wrong. You don't know nothing until your mind get renewed. Because you're going along with the world. You got the information of the world and you think, listen, live and let live. Okay, that's fine. But listen, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. We're not under the law of sin and death. We're under the law of the spirit of life. And you got to live and gravitate according to that law. Now, he said, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead will also quicken or make alive your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. It will give you the control of the authority over your physical desires. It will allow you to bring it into subjection. Paul said, I beat my body and I bring it into subjection. He said, I mortify the deeds of the flesh or I put them to death. Why? So I can please him. I can please God. And that's what it's about, pleasing God. He said, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the children of God. If you're led by the spirit of God, what does it mean to be led by the spirit of God? You got to follow in order for you to be led by him. You got to follow. He walking on and you going this way. You ain't being led by the spirit. You doing your own thing. But when you're led by the spirit of God, you follow after the things of God. And those are the things that pertain unto life, eternal life. And listen, God is not hard. He gives everybody in this room opportunity to get things right. As long as you are alive, you got a chance, but don't wait too late. Don't let the door be shut. And you come talking about, Lord, Lord, open unto me. Don't wake up one morning out of your body. And you didn't get things right with God. You might find yourself in a place where the air condition don't exist. The Bible said where the fiery flame shall not be quenched and where the worm never dies, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping denotes sorrow. Gnashing of teeth denotes regret and anger. There's going to be a lot of angry people in hell. They made that choice though. Verse 15. He said, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Somebody say adoption. Let me tell you how powerful that is to have the spirit of adoption. You know, Tanisha, if you were to adopt a son, he would become your heir, your legal heir, and you could not uninherit him. But you could uninherit your natural children. But because you adopted him, you cannot uninherit him. You have the spirit of adoption. God can't get rid of us. He can't unadopt us. But he can correct us, that's for sure. For whom the Lord loveth, he scourges. He said, he chastises and scourges every son that he receives. He brings correction. What does correct mean? To make. Right. Doesn't mean to destroy. If you got a bad answer on your test, they tell you to do the correction. You got to figure it again till you get it right. Right? You made the correction. God wants you to get it right because he loves you. He don't want you to keep on making the same mistake. He going to keep on grading the test. Say, take it again. this time, get it right. I don't know the formula. The formula's in the book. It's right here. He said, for the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are of the children of God. And if children, heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. My. He said, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Hang on in there. This life that we live is like a vapor that appears but for a moment, then it's gone. It's just a short blink, not even a blink in the other eye compared to eternity. And this life, it is only a test to see if you can choose this day who you will serve. Can you choose the right? Can you make the right choice? We sit before you life and death. We told you what to do. It's up to you to make the choice. The oldest person in here is mother. She's 95 years old. And in the face of eternity, they didn't even blink. But she already made her call in an election sure. It's not how old you are. It's the choice you made along the way. All right, let's go on. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. I think I started there. Chapter 4, verse 12. It talks about the word of God. Remember, you must become a practitioner of the word. You must become skillful in the word, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to know how to use the word of God. You need to study the word of God. When you get the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, show me. Give me understanding concerning this word. And God will illuminate the word. The word will start jumping up off the pages. You know, I got saved. And if y'all don't know where to start, start in St. John. I got saved in St. John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wow, Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. Wow, that revelation came on. A lot of people don't even get that little simple revelation. They don't get that. But that light came on. I know who I serve. I know in whom I have believed. I know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is everlasting life, that you believe on the Son of God. As long as that you believe on him and put your faith in him and start following after him, you're saved. It's not based on how good you are. It's based on how good he is. He died on the cross for us. For the word of God is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. When you minister in the word of God, that word will separate. If there's somebody bound up by the spirit, some spirit of addiction or some just negative mindset, the word of God will divide. Why? Because Jesus said this. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It ain't just regular words. What I'm saying, this ain't regular words. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They'll give life to you, eternal life. And they're able to divide asunder soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. It'll separate that evil spirit from that individual and allow the soul of that individual to say, what must I do to be saved? Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, that is Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Our profession. This is what we do. This is who we are. We're the children of the Most High God. That profession can also be translated into confession. Let us hold fast wholesome words. Let us always be on alert. Because by hearing through the hearing of the ear, you can discern what's of God and what's not of God. If you know what the word of God says. If you don't, anybody can tell you anything. But when you know the word of God, that word of God resonates in your spirit. And you'll know the truth from error. You'll know the difference between a lie and deception and the truth. You'll know. You say, wait a minute now. Let me go check that out. I hear what you're saying. Let me check it out. I ain't just saying amen to everything. I got to agree with what the word of God agrees with. You ain't got to always give me chapter and verse, but I know the sound of it if it's in agreement to what God has said. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Jesus is just like us. He goes through the same thing we went through when he was down here. But was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He overcame the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of trouble. You know what that scripture says? That scripture says no matter what God is doing, when you pray, when you come boldly before the throne of grace, all of heaven stops and God gives you his undivided attention that you may obtain grace or mercy to time of help. He said, you may obtain grace to find in time of trouble. He said, let us come therefore boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. What is mercy? God said, listen, you might have been wrong, but I'm not going to condemn you as your sin deserves. I'm going to have mercy on you. You come before the throne of grace. Grace is God's undeserved kindness, his unmerited favor, and he gives you mercy. You know, when you start praying, all of heaven is busy. You know what I envision when I see that? When I come and I come before God, it's like walking down this long corridor. Anybody seen The Wizard of Oz, the first one, the long corridor they had to walk down? It's like walking down a long corridor, but yet I got angels posted at every pillar with trumpets. And when they see me coming, they blow that trumpet and say, behold, the child of the Most High God. And those golden gates, those doors swing open. And I come right before the throne of God. And God is telling everybody, wait a minute. Yes, son. Let me hear your request. He takes that time. He'll stop everything to hear what you has to say. There ain't no line waiting either. Oh, I got getting in line. I got ticket 10,995 before I can get to the throne. No. God hears you. He's just like that. He can do that. If you'll come to him. So it says, let us therefore come boldly. That means without timidity. It doesn't mean without respect. But with the confidence of knowing that God loves you. You're his child. You're a prince. You're a matter of fact, the Bible said we're kings and priests under God. You're a royal priesthood. They honor you when you come. Matter of fact, the scriptures say, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you even visited him? Who are you? See, you're not like anything else in this universe. You're created in the image and in the likeness of God. You're God's child. The Bible says, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we see him, we're going to be transformed. We're going to be like him, but we'll see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him will purify himself, get rid of that fleshly lust, even as he is pure. If you got that hope of one day being with Jesus, then you start drawing some lines. You start having some standards, something that you live by that you just won't cross. I don't care what everybody else is doing. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And if my house don't serve, I'm going to serve. Because I'm the covering for my house. I protect my house. Noah was the one who found grace, but yet his whole family got into the ark because of Noah. They said the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the believing wife. Just your faith can save your family. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your household. You don't know how powerful you are. You don't know how deep the relationship runs. Matthew 16:13. God has entrusted you with some keys to the house. You don't get keys to your house to everybody. You only get keys to your family members. This is the only one should have the keys to your house. Matthew 16:13, this is when Jesus began to ask the question, say, who do they say that I, the Son of Man, am? What are they saying out there? What they say? Who they say Rashawn is? Who they say Quan? Who they say Tanisha is? What they saying about y'all out there? And he said, And some of them, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, which is Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But then he asked the most important question. What's the most important question? But who do you say that I am? Who do you say? Who do you say? Who do you say? Who do you say that I am? And Simon, of course, we talked about Simon. Simon said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And God said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, Simon, but my Father, which is in heaven. We talked about how Simon felt. And then God, after God told him this. Now, look at this. Now, let's read this narrative. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. What rock? The rock of the revelation of who Christ is. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Then he said what? And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. This is for all believers. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I'm giving you the ability to change things, to bind and to loose. Whatever heaven is in agreement with, you can establish that agreement here on earth. Wherever heaven is not in agreement with, you can bind that thing from taking place down here on earth. You come into alignment with the will of God. Then he charged the disciples that they should tell no man. And we know what happened later on. Jesus began to tell about the crucifixion and the suffering, and Peter began to rebuke Jesus. Then we talk about the frequency. And what did he say? Get thee behind me, Satan. He didn't say, get thee behind me, Peter. So you got to have that discerning ear. You got to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. You got to be able to have your senses exercised through the use of the word so you can discern good from evil. I don't care whose mouth is coming out of. I don't care if it's coming out of one of these babies. You don't let that word stand. What did Peter do at the crucifixion? He denied Christ how many times? Three times. How many times did Jesus ask Peter if he loved him? Three times. He didn't leave it out there. He restored him back. He canceled out every one of those denials. And you have ability to cancel out the negative things that people say. Don't let just people say negative. And people don't like it when you don't let them live in negativity. Now, you just don't understand. I mean, I don't have to understand. I'm not going to let it stand out there, though. So you are the peacekeepers. You are the change agents.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Hello, this is Pastor Chaco Varghese inviting you to listen to Word of Eternal Life every Monday at 5:30 a.m. to learn more about God's plan of eternal life through Jesus Christ here at WCNO 89.9 FM.